Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Hello there, Kevin. Good morning.
Well, we're going to talk about wealth today, and maybe broadly speaking, not just wealth, but money, because sometimes our struggles with money either have to do with not having wealth, but the lack of it, or struggling with seeking it, or and all those sorts of things. But this was we had a conversation around this topic in our small group, and there were so many interesting perspectives around it, but it all seemed to hinge on one thing, which is striking that balance and finding being able to respond to what God's word is leading us toward with regard to money. There's either the struggle to provide for ourselves and our families, either today or in the future, right? I know I don't want to be a burden to my children. I'm sure you don't want to be a burden to your children.
Oh, yes, I do. They were a burden to me when they were young. I'm going to be a burden when I'm old. No, right. No, I get that.
You're right. But we also, it's not, we're bombarded from every angle to value things and to value the amassing of wealth. I mean, honestly, can we look in any direction in this culture and not feel like we're being encouraged to amass as much wealth as we possibly can?
Yeah. This is such a massive question. And, many tentacles wrapped around this thing. We live in a materialistic culture. We consume, very interesting World War II. The message was conserve, don't spend, conserve for the war effort. When 9/11 came around, the bombing, the demolition of the Trade Center in New York, and all the fallout of that, the message was spend, go spend, and entirely different approach. How do we better ourselves? How do we overcome this evil by spending, investing in the economy, and enjoying ourselves, and not letting it change our lives? So that's part of this this world we live in as well. It's a very fearful world, and those with vast resources seem to be the ones who have the thickest walls on their castles. A place of refuge, that if I have enough money, enough resources, enough material possessions, then I will be insulated and protected from the ravages of the age. Although the world around me may go to hell in a handbasket, I'll be okay because I've got, these things around me. And that's a real... it's a real false notion, when it comes down to it. Money cannot save. Temporarily we may be comfortable, but for the long haul, no. I mean, the ravages of the age will get all of us, and we cannot insulate ourselves with our resources from the hurt and the plague of the age. But when it comes to, how do we find this balance? I think the balance is contentment. And, Paul says to Timothy, this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He speaks in, we know the famous verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. But just before that, he has said, verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. For through this craving, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. There's so many stories we could look at, the counsel of Scripture to not put our trust in riches. to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. To be content with what we have. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. And to trust the Lord. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, pursuing the righteousness and trusting that the Lord will add these things to us. And so I think the balance we're really looking for is, how do I get my heart to that place of contentment in the Lord and with what I've got? Content with being okay with what I don't have. And I think that brings us to a place, contentment is, it just has to be fortified with, number one, humility before God. What do I need, really, in this life? What do I need? Well, be content with food and clothing. If you've got that, great, Well, how much food, how much clothing, what kind of quality of food and clothing, that's where we get into this. It turns on itself. And there's this love and this pursuit where my security and identity and comfort is in the quality of something or the amassing of those things. No, do you have enough to eat today? Do you have clothing? There's a level where we've got to be content with that. And there's, again, in that, we've got to be humble before God and humble before this world. Because the world is saying, be discontent until you have, A, B, C. And we've got to be able to say, no, I'm going to humble myself saying, I don't need those things. I don't need to look like the world. I may not even need to eat like the world, the rest of the world. We want to make smart choices and, not discounting eating well and dressing well. That level of humility before God, that my identity is not in what I look like or how I dress or what I amass of material goods. But I think right there with humility is faith, trusting that God will supply me with what I need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. And so that contentment is, it's full of faith in the Lord and a humbleness before God. So what do I do then with wealth? I mean, God made a material world. The material world is good. And, the development of economies, we need money to live. I mean, that's just life in this world. And God doesn't look down on that. I think God blesses economies and industry and so there's the balance of okay, I come with a humble, faithful, contented life into this world. Not so much that I'm building to amass this great amount of wealth, but I'm going to amass wealth. I've got to make money in order to provide for my needs. I think it was John Wesley who said, make as much money as you can, save as much money as you can, and give as much money as you can. And I think you can't, it's not two out of three. It's not just one. It's all three, make, save, and give. And I think that's the, how do I arrive at a balance? Some people are just really good at making money. And I don't think it's wrong to make a lot of money. The wrongness in that is to think that I am somebody before God because I make money, or to think that my security is in making that money. Mm. Again, my security is in the Lord. But so when it comes to, if I've made money, a real key to discipleship, and I think growing in contentment is, do I give it away? Am I willing to give and give sacrificially? And I think that maybe that's the really great test. Do I tithe to my church? Do I give to the needs of the poor willingly, faithfully, or begrudgingly? Do I give out of fear, thinking I'm not going to have enough now? The test of my heart and really where it is with the Lord does come down to how do I view my tithe check, my giving? Is it a delight to give away? And am I trying to give more? Because I love the Lord and my trust is in Him, not in what is in my bank account. I think that's, that's how we test ourselves. And, do I have that humble, faithful contentedness before God? Or am I fearful, anxious, worried, bent on, getting my little my little treasure trove here on earth. Am I willing to give? So, Wesley's, yeah, go for it. Make as much as you can. Get into industry and be industrious. Save all you can. Don't be a spendthrift, but also give. And I think those three are so important. As far as the balance of, well, what about saving up for retirement? I don't want to be a burden on my kids, and I don't. None of us does. Proverbs 21:20 says that the wise store up choice food and olive oil, using the metaphors of that day. But a wise person stores up things for future days. And so it's not wrong to save money. It's not wrong to save for retirement. I think underneath that has got to be this sense of, but my security is in the Lord, not in my resources. And that's such a tricky thing. Yeah. And to examine the heart, maybe this is really a great conversation for small groups and for Christians to have with one another of, how do you know if your heart's been taken captive by the love of money? Ask your Christian friends that. What are some signs in your life that love of money supersedes love of God? I will come back to this time and time again by asking, what are you giving away? Mm. Do you have a giving heart and show it in your checkbook, your bank account? Do you give to the cause of the gospel, or are you hoarding it? And when you do you give with joy, or do you give begrudgingly? I think that is a telltale sign of where our heart really is when it comes to wealth. Jesus, said you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I think we need to be very, very, honest with ourselves about that. And so again, coming back to our small groups and to our conversations to talk about money. Not how much you're making, but, asking that diagnostic question and let that be a conversation in our everyday life with one another. Because it is subtle. And, this love of money creeps up and viciously so at times, through the advertisements and just the water we're swimming in, that is so bent on materialistic gain as a sign of health and security, comfort. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, he doesn't go there. He doesn't go in that direction. I think, again, part of building a contented life, not just, giving, but also having a bigger perspective, a kingdom perspective. I'm going to die someday. And maybe God gives me 90 years. But someday, everything I possess, I'm going to leave behind. What then? Mm. We don't know how to value the soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? We're soulless in our thinking at times, and we value the wrong things. We're so immediate, and we've got to become thinking people, perspective people, long perspective, eternal perspective. And if we have a kingdom perspective and realizing someday I'm going to live forever in the presence of God, and there's not going to be anything I lack, and the joys of this life are going to seem boring compared with what's to come, shabby compared with the glories to be revealed. If I know that, how do I let that affect what I do with my stuff today? Mm. Well, it ought to change my perspective, that I hold lightly to it. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to invest in kingdom things. And I'm willing to say, this is not my life. If I don't have the best of the best, you know, that's really okay. Someday I'm going to walk in glory, and you know, the glorious things of this life are going to seem, you know, gray and drabby. So anyway, I don't know if that answers this question. It's a big question. But
I really appreciate your mentioning the subtlety of this issue. I've seen the extremes. I have a friend who came into millions of dollars when he was in his early 20s, and it wrecked his adult life. It really was a waste, a wasteland, his entire adult life on up into his 40s. And he walks with the Lord today, and the Lord has really intervened in his life. But, I mean, that's an extreme. But I look around and I see how that I am often unaware of how much I'm affected by attitudes that are really contrary to what you're talking about in Scripture. So, for example, I think that sometimes we as believers can kind of give a wink and a nod in the sense of saying, we are believers, we know we need the gospel, we know we need Jesus, and it is a really good thing to be a Christian, but it's a little better to be a Christian who also has a beautiful home that's well decorated and has all the amenities that make life worth living and rich here in the culture that we live in. And that's kind of giving a wink and a nod to the culture's perspective on materials, things.
Yeah. You know? I mean, good gifts come from God, and we live a life of gratitude. And if we have wealth, be grateful and think strategically, Lord, how do you want to use this wealth to advance your purposes? And because someday I'm going to lay it all down, and what then? Someday I'm going to give an account to you for what you've given me, and what then? Have I hoarded? Have I lived a life of luxury? That's what Paul talks of in 1 Timothy and speaks against, you know, living in luxury when there's such need around us. And, well, does that mean I have to give everything away? No, unless it's your God. I mean, Jesus told the rich young ruler, you got an idol in your life, and it's your money, and it's keeping you from me. And so you need to get rid of it. And so, money's going to play differently with every individual. But again, I come back to that place of taking a humble stance before God, of faith in the Lord, and that contentment with what He's given. Probably all of us when we were young thinking, Lord, you know, let me be really wealthy, and I'll do so much for your kingdom.
Right,
and you know, most people, you know, would love for God to give them millions of dollars. And you know, if you really dig into that, you know, what's under that? Well, it's a sense of security, that my security, I'm going to find it in, at least I won't have to worry about, you know, providing for myself. And but you know, the thing with wealth, and especially if you inherit a vast amount or just a good amount of wealth, it gives us a false sense of power and authority. Because if I have a lot of money to give away, then I can start dictating terms, and I can make demands on people. Okay, we want to be wise in what we give to, absolutely. But money can, it subtly turns us into these I want to use kind words, but in its worst, it can turn us into monsters who boss people around. Mm-hmm. But even though it may turn us into authoritarian people who look down on others, and we dictate the terms for others. And I'm just not sure that's the position that the Lord wants us in. So again, how do we humbly, with contentment and faith in the Lord, make as much, save as much, and give as much as we can? And it really calls for that humble heart before God.
And I think what you're calling us to here, pointing us to in the scripture is, it is not a place of, okay, if you have a lot, then you should really feel guilty about that. No, it's be drawn into the freedom of what Jesus was trying to tell the rich young ruler, for example. It's freedom, and it's driving you toward the source of real joy, as opposed to away from it.
Yeah, and you know, I know a few folks who have wealth, and I've seen folks who are what Scripture calls hilarious givers. They love to give. They love to bless. And I love watching that. Mm-hmm. And their money hasn't mastered them. They're masters of their money. And they're using it. They're investing. They're looking for ways. And it's a joy to give. And I think of one man who came into my office a while back, and he said, "What are needs of this church? What are you all doing?" And he wanted to be wise with his resources because he wanted to give some money to us. And when he heard about our discipleship and outreach opportunities, things we were doing like with the transition home, he thought that was so fabulous, and he gave some money, and it was a joy for him to give, because he saw this as kingdom work, and his heart ran to that, and I love, and he never asked, you know, accountability, how was every dime spent. You know, he wasn't authoritarian in that regard. He got the vision of where we were going. Love this. We want to bless you in this. And so there was a freedom for him to be able to give, and a deep joy. And I enter into that joy too. Like, wow, thank you. This is so fun, you know, to watch you, step up and give. And we look forward to blessing, you know, people beyond us with your giving.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, Lord, thank you for the gift of money. And Lord, thank you for jobs that you give us that we can make money. And would you please make us wise stewards, Lord? Lord, that money not be our master, our God, but that you be. And Lord, that we learn how to be hilarious givers. We learn how to bless others by holding lightly to our stuff, because we can trust you, that you will supply us with what we need for life and godliness. Lord, we don't want to be spendthrifts. We don't want to be foolish. Neither do we want to be stingy and hard toward others who are in need. So, Lord, soften us. And again, with humble, contented faith, Lord, may we embrace the gifts you give us and use them for your kingdom purposes. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.